It is good to sing with one another. It is lovely to join our voices in song to worship our God. And I hope you would have noticed that this morning much of our song was reflecting upon the Holy Spirit, on His work in our lives, how He molds us, how He sanctifies us, how He grows us in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And even as we come to the preaching of the Word, we are utterly dependent on His work in our hearts through the preaching of the Word, to that anything fruitful might come from it, or else it is all in vain. So let us now turn to the Lord, humbly seeking His face before we hear the preaching of God's Word. O Heavenly Father, we come to You this day, and Lord, we do look to You for much grace as we come to the preaching of Your Word. Lord, I pray for grace as I preach the Word, that You might sanctify me and cleanse me from all my sin, that, Lord, as I speak, I might speak only as You would have me to speak, that the thoughts and the desires of my heart might be right as I preach the Word this morning. But indeed, Lord, I pray that in each one of our hearts, as we look at the Word and as we consider what Your Word says today, that, Lord, You might really implant this deep in our hearts, that we would not be stubborn or forgetful or careless with Your Word. The Lord, that we might hear it and know it and believe it and live according to it, even this day we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning we begin a series on the Lord's Prayer. Now the Lord's Prayer, I think, is well known. Indeed, it is quite commonplace. I remember in high school it was, I suppose, more tradition than anything else, but to recite the Lord's Prayer at our assemblies. And so that is how I learned to recite the Lord's Prayer. But as Christians, as those who follow the Lord Jesus Christ, how often do we give thought to the Lord's Prayer? Does what the Lord's Prayer teaches us about prayer have any impact on our lives, on how we pray, on how we approach our Heavenly Father in prayer, on what we pray about, in our motives about prayer? These are indeed many things that the Lord's Prayer teaches us. And in the coming weeks, that is what we will be addressing. And so we will be flipping between both Matthew and Luke, because in both texts, the Lord's Prayer is taught to us by the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we will be spending our time in this passage for the next few weeks. But this morning specifically, we will be considering the matter of what is prayer and why we ought to pray. Perhaps it is an interesting question. What is prayer? Perhaps you might begin to define it. It is speaking to God. It is communicating with God. It is letting our desires be made known to God. It is fellowshipping with God, and all these things are good and right and true. But today we will be considering some of God's Word and considering what God has to say about prayer and how we are to approach it. But perhaps before I even get to that, what is prayer? I wish to stress the importance of prayer in our lives. Perhaps you this morning feel as though you are far from Christ. Perhaps the wonderful news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ seems a far-off reality to your life in a personal sense. Yes, you believe in Christ. Yes, you trust in Him for your salvation. Yes, you know He died and rose again. Yet your sin is so prevalent. Yet your heart perhaps condemns you. You have a guilty conscience. Perhaps there's much regret in your life. Perhaps your relationship with the Lord is at a standstill. It's as though there's been no growth, no progress, no deeper communion and fellowship with God. You think of a couple that has begun dating, and that couple, as they date, they are excited to get to know one another. When was the last time you were excited to know more of God? To speak with Him, to know Him, to understand more of who He is? When last was that our heart's desire? Indeed, I think perhaps if we were to take a step back and look at our spiritual condition this morning, perhaps much of that which is wrong, perhaps much of that which is we look at and we wish were better would come down to our lack of prayer. And maybe not only our lack of prayer, but the way in which we pray. And so this is very important for us as believers this day. None of us pray as we ought to pray. None of us has got prayer down to a T. None of us can say we pray as much as we ought to. And so let this series on the Lord's Prayer be a refresher to our souls about the beauty and wonder of prayer. Indeed, that is what the Lord's disciples had in mind when they came to Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 11. In Luke chapter 11, verse 1, it says, "Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples.'" Now, when we come to this request from the disciples in Luke chapter 11, verse 1, where they say, "Lord, teach us to pray," it is not because they did not know how to pray. Indeed, the Jews had a structured daily schedule of praying morning, afternoon, and evening, three times a day. This was ingrained in the family. It was commonplace. This was how it was done. They knew how to pray. They had prayed. And perhaps you sit here and you say, "Yes, I pray. Morning, afternoon, evening, perhaps even more than that. Yes, I've done it so often. Yes, I've been taught from birth how to do so." Yet, we see here the disciples seeing Jesus Christ pray, seeing and understanding that his prayer was different to theirs, they say, "Lord, teach us to pray." And so let that be the request of your heart, my heart, this morning. Lord, teach us to pray. Now, if you'll just turn to Matthew chapter 6, this is where we'll spend most of our time this morning. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5. I'll read from verse 5 to verse 14. "And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogue and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you have forgiven their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." This is the reading from God's Word. Well, what is prayer? Well, the Bible does not lay down for us a definition of what prayer is. So we must look at God's Word and draw conclusions from various passages in the Bible so that we can form a biblical understanding of prayer. But even as we come to this passage we just read in Matthew chapter 6, we find helpful pointers as to what prayer is, or perhaps also to what prayer is not. Notice how Jesus begins instructing his disciples here in Matthew chapter 6 on what prayer is not. He says, "And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you." Well, what does Jesus teach his disciples here? Well, he's following on from what he had been teaching in verses 3 and 4. He's teaching about giving to the needy and how there were those who were hypocrites, those who were seeking to gain favor with people around them. They would be so kind and so lovely to the needy so long as others were watching. Indeed, they would only be helpful to the needy if they knew others were watching. But Jesus tells his disciples that when they give to the needy, that their left hand must not know what their right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Indeed, here Jesus is teaching his disciples that they must not be seeking their own vain glory in their kind acts toward others. They're not to be seeking their own good, their own praise, their own reward. Rather, they are to be doing this out of a love for their neighbor in obedience with God's command. The promise here is that God, their Father who sees in secret, will reward them. But then we get, again, the hypocrite in verse 5. And when you come to the word hypocrite in the Greek, it is actually speaking of someone who is two-faced. Think of one who acts in a play. Think of one who has to play multiple characters in a play. One moment, they are the protagonist, and the next moment, they are a completely other character because they have to change their role according to who they're acting as. And that is what the hypocrite is like, changing who he is depending on whom he is trying to appease. Indeed, in the Greek culture, they would have plays where they would have masks, and they would have a happy mask and a sad mask, and this would reflect their emotions. And that is what is being spoken of here. It is one who wears a mask. And so when we pray, we must not be like the hypocrite. Well, what does the hypocrite do? Well, they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners that they may be seen by others. The desire of the hypocrite when they pray is to be seen by others. And why do they desire to be seen by others? Well, that others might think well of them. That is a pious man, a good lady, a holy person. This is someone who clearly has got their religion down to a T. Look how they pray, so fervently. So unashamedly, perhaps they might even think. Well, what does Jesus say? Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. Now, what does this mean? Well, this means that their prayer, which is supposedly to God, that the only reply they will get to that prayer is the approval of others. There will be no reply from God. Their reward for their hypocritical prayer, seeking adoration from man, will only yield that. There will be no real answer to prayer. It will be pointless. They will have received their reward. The thoughts that others think about them, that will be it. In fact, their prayer will be useless. It is no longer prayer. It is now a self-seeking, self-adoring thing that gives them pleasure. Is that not the state of man's heart? To twist the things of God for our own gain. Perhaps there are those even sitting here, you have some sort of Bible knowledge, or perhaps you pray, or perhaps you do certain things in order to be thought well of by others. Well, in God's eyes, that is of no value, of no worth. That prayer is no prayer, for God will not answer it. But how are we to pray? In verse 6, Jesus says, "But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret." Well, what do we notice here about true prayer? We get false prayer, hypocritical prayer, but then we get true prayer that God is pleased with. It is prayer that is private. Go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. It is not only prayer that is private. It is not the privacy of prayer that is pleasing to God. But it is the fact that one prays unto God whether others are looking or not. Do you pray with a true desire to meet with God? To have your heart laid before Him? Are you doing it for any other reason? Is it to appease your conscience, to say, I've prayed for the day? Perhaps it gets to before bedtime and you're lying in bed and you remember, I haven't prayed today, let me quickly pray. Is that how we are to pray? Is that pleasing to our Father if we are praying not unto Him, not for Him, but for ourselves? Notice how it says, and you are to pray to your Father. You are to come before Him. You are to lay yourself before Him who is in secret. What are the motives of your heart? Is there any sinful motive in there? Is there any desire in there that is full of deceit? Search your heart this morning. But let us also be reminded that the Lord is not here condemning public prayer. The Lord is not telling us that we are not to pray with others or around others, and we are just to be hermits locked in our closet 24/7, that we would not be proud or arrogant. No, that is certainly not the case. What the Lord is looking at here is the state of our heart. Are you seeking the glory of man? That does not please God. Are you seeking God in your prayers? That is pleasing to Him. So please be reminded of that. Just think of Acts chapter 1, verse 14. It speaks of the disciples, how after Jesus ascended into heaven, it says, all these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer, together with the woman and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. And so we see there that they were devoting themselves together in one accord. And so let us not think that we are to not pray together. But let us not think that God does not see the motive of our heart as we pray. And then we continue in verse 7. So our prayer, firstly, prayer is not a vainglorious, self-seeking activity. It is not something that is to please us. It is not something that is necessarily even for us. It is something that is to be done to our Father, unto Him, in secret, with the right motives. Then in verse 7 we read, and when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Now what wrong view of prayer is Jesus confronting in verse 7? Well, He is confronting the idea that the quantity of one's prayer, or what one says, or what one might do or think or be active in prayer, garners favor with God. You see, here he mentions the Gentiles. The Gentiles, with their many pagan rituals, they would perhaps dance, they would perhaps sing, they'd perhaps chant. Perhaps they'd be praying for hours and hours, calling upon their false gods to deliver them, but those prayers were not heard. Those prayers were of no value. Again, notice it says, do not heap up empty phrases. That could also be translated as vain, pointless. Think about your prayers. Do you pray thinking about what you say? Or are you heaping up empty phrases? Do you pray with consideration to whom you are praying? Or are they merely words you speak into the air? Do you pray thinking that the longer you pray, the more you pray, the more God will bless you, the more deserving you are of His favor? Well, in this verse, the Lord Jesus Christ is dispelling those myths about prayer. It is not the quantity of what you say. It is not necessarily the manner in which you say it. It is not about heaping up empty phrases that will have your prayer be godly and right. No, it is not that that will please the Lord. It says, for they think that they'll be heard for their many words. Do you think that God owes you to answer your prayer because you've merely said a lot? Perhaps you think like that sometimes. Lord, I've spent an hour in prayer. Lord, now you must answer. Lord, now you must listen to me. Well, that is what the Gentiles thought. I will garner God's favor. He will pay me back for my devotion if I pray many things. Yet their hearts, again, the motive of the heart, it's empty. It's vain. It's pointless. It is not pleasing to Him. Well, now, does this mean that we are not to pray frequently? No. Does this mean that we cannot pray for one thing many times? No, certainly not. But once again, the point here is the motive of the heart. Do we think that we will get God's favor by praying much? That is not the point. We cannot get God's favor through prayer by praying many things, for that is vanity, that is emptiness. Those words are pointless. Do we pray with sincerity? Do we pray trusting that when I've prayed to God, He hears and that He answers? The Gentiles perhaps heap up many phrases because perhaps they're afraid God won't hear them. But do you pray trusting that God hears, that He answers prayer, and that He is capable of answering prayer? Do you pray in such a way? Well, how are we to act in prayer? Verse 8, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. See, the Gentiles, perhaps afraid that their gods will not hear, or perhaps afraid that their gods will not answer them unless they have these dramatic, lengthy prayers. But not so for you, O Christian. Your Father, your Heavenly Father, He knows, He understands, He knows all everything about you, even before you kneel down to pray. He sees straight through you. He searches the heart and the mind. He knows everything. And so when you pray, how wonderful it is to know that even before you've said a word, He knows what you need. Not what you want, but what you need before you ask Him. And how wonderful that is. How often I've come to the Lord in prayer and I don't know what to pray. I don't know what to say. I don't even know what I need most of all. But how wonderful it is that our Father knows. And what does it teach us about our Father? What teaches us that He cares? You think of a father, an earthly father with their child. That father will know what they need. They need food, drink, clothing, they'll need love, they'll need somebody to protect them, to teach them, to guide them. They will need all these things. The Father knows. Our Father knows entirely, fully, completely what we need before we ask Him. Well, now perhaps the question arises, well, why pray if the Lord knows? Why should we come to God and ask Him if He already knows what I need? Is that not just pointless? Because if He already knows, then why ask? Why doesn't He just give? Well, that is a very important question to ask. But the reason why we are to come to the Lord in prayer to ask Him is because as we ask Him, we are learning to depend upon Him alone for all that we need. Prayer is dependence. Prayer is reliance. Prayer is looking to one who is greater, who is stronger, who is more faithful, who is more capable to help us in our time of need. Prayer is also looking to one who is powerful, who is mighty, who is capable to answer, but also to one whom we know loves us and cares for us, and desires to answer our prayer. That is what prayer is. When we come to our Father in prayer, it is coming to Him who is sovereign, who is in control of all things, who is Lord over heavens and earth, but it is also He who cares for us, who loves us, who knows us. And it is coming to Him with all our heart and pouring it out before Him, laying it at His feet, coming to Him in humble dependence and realizing that all we have, all we need, comes from Him. That is what prayer is. The Westminster Catechism, they ask the question in the Catechism, what is prayer? And the answer given is, prayer is an offering up of our desires unto God in the name of Christ, by the help of the Spirit, with confession of our sins and thankful acknowledgement of His mercies. Let me read that again. Prayer is an offering up of our desires unto God in the name of Christ, by the help of the Spirit, with confession of our sins and thankful acknowledgement of His mercies. And so as we come to the Lord in prayer, prayer, if we are to take that definition, and I think it is a good definition, there could be many definitions given for prayer, but in Psalm 50, verse 14 to 15, it says, offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving, and perform your vows to the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. And there we see Asaph writing in the psalm. He's saying that, writing for the Lord, saying that we are to call upon Him in the day of trouble. That is the offering up of our desires unto God. We are to come to our Heavenly Father asking Him for help, for grace, for mercy. We see this in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. It says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receive. And the one who seeks, find. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened. And so prayer is asking. Prayer is seeking. Prayer is knocking. It is coming to God. Again, in humble acknowledgement of our weakness, of our inability, of our need for help, for grace, for forgiveness, and coming to Him. What is your problem? Is it financial? Well, we are to ask, to seek, to knock. Is your problem relational? Do you have relational problems? Perhaps you've grieved your spouse, or your children, or a friend. How are you to deal with this? Ask, seek, knock. How are you to deal with your sin? You've transgressed God severely. You have not loved Him. In fact, you've hated Him. And you've hated your neighbor. You failed Him this day. Skipped your quiet time. Neglected prayer. Your heart is hardened. Your conscience is condemning you for your sin. What are you to do? Go to God in prayer. But why? Why are we to pray? Well, I think the answer was given in verse 8 of chapter 7. Everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. O Christian, if you come to the Lord with a sincere desire upon your heart, seeking your God, realizing your weakness, realizing that He is the only one that can supply your need, realizing that He cares for you, that He loves you, that He knows your need, and you ask, He will supply your need. That is a promise from God's Word. It is a very fact, as it were, before us, that we are to believe by faith. In James 4, verse 2, it says, you do not have because you do not ask. You do not have because you do not ask. Perhaps you're battling with sin. Have you asked the Lord for help? Perhaps you're struggling with a various trial in your life. Perhaps you're discouraged. Perhaps you're struggling to pray. Have you asked the Lord for help? Will He not answer you in His tender, loving care? But then let us also remember that we cannot just ask whatever we want. We will be looking, obviously, in the Lord's Prayer, where we know the Lord teaches us to pray that your will be done, your kingdom come. It is not about us. It is not about what I desire first of all. James 4, verse 3, it says, you ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. Oh, how often this is us. You do not have because you do not ask. The things we should ask for, we don't. But the things we shouldn't ask for, we do ask for, and then God doesn't give it to us and we're upset. You ask and you do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. You adulterous people. Oh, may the Lord give us grace to ask, to seek Him, to trust His promises, that those who seek Him in prayer, that He answers, that He will supply their need. For the believer, this is to be a great encouragement. This is to comfort our hearts in prayer. Pray you for forgiveness. Why will the Lord answer? Why should I even come to the Lord and confess my sins and ask for forgiveness? Well, because the Lord has promised in His word that He will do so. So ask and you will receive. Are you broken by your sin? Are you battling to overcome the desires of the flesh? Well, ask and you will receive. The Lord will hear your prayer and graciously answer it. And so we see that the word of God is to be our guide in all our praying. We are not to pray according to what we desire. As James says, you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions, but we are to ask in accordance with His word. And if we ask according to what He has written for us to ask for, how quickly He will answer us. And so we see also this encouragement from the Lord Jesus Christ in John 14, verse 13 to 14. He says, whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. And so, oh believer, this day, prayer is when we humbly come before our God, realizing that we are His creatures, that He has made us, that He is God, He's holy, He's unlike us. But also realizing that He is our Savior, that through Jesus Christ, He's atoned for our sin. He's washed us clean. And that is why Jesus says that we are to pray in His name. Because the only reason we can come to God and ask anything with confidence, yes, we can trust God's character. He's faithful to His promises. He cannot lie. He cannot fail. But we know we have peace with God. Why? Because we are Christ's. We are in Him. Jesus Christ is our Lord and our Savior. And Jesus Christ has atoned for all our sin. So when we say, in Jesus' name, Amen, what we are saying, Lord, answer this prayer, not because of any worthiness in me, but because of the worthiness of your Son. And so ask, is Christ not worthy? Yes, you are unworthy, but you come in Christ's name, not naked, not undressed, but with Christ as your intercessor, in Christ's righteous garments, with Christ beckoning you to come. And so pray with confidence. And so why should we pray? Well, prayer is that which grows us in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord uses prayer in order to grow our faith. Do you lack faith? Well, then pray. Perhaps the first thing you do when a trial comes your way is to act, to do something, to fix it yourself. When last did you pray? When you didn't make your budget for the month. It's the first thing you do, pray. When the car breaks down, do you pray? When there's a conflict in your relationship, and you're riled up and angry, do you pray? When you're struggling with your devotions, we have no desire to pray, do you pray? Why not? What keeps you? What prevents you? Pain you do not have because you do not ask. And so the Lord Jesus Christ beckons us to come, to pray to Him. As John 14, verse 13 says, whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. As Jesus Christ answers our prayers, the Father will be glorified, for we will see His mighty hand at work in our lives. We will see how He tends to our needs. We will see His fatherly care. We will see how He loves us with a love that is far greater than what we imagined. We will see how He supplies at times in supernatural ways for our needs. And this will lead to the glory of God as we give thanks for His deliverance, as we give thanks for His work in our lives, as we give thanks, as we realize just how near the Lord is, just how much the Lord knows us. And so, O Christian, pray. O Christian, come to the Lord in prayer. But to the non-believer this day, to you who does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior, well, what are you to do? Well, if you seek to come to God without coming through Jesus Christ, you'll not be accepted. You're sinful. You have broken His law. And justice demands that you be cut off from God, that you do not come into His presence, for He is too holy to entertain sin. But if you would come to God, if you would come to Him and ask Him for forgiveness of your sins, if you would be saved of your sin, if you would come to know Him as your Heavenly Father, as your deliverer, then you must come to Him through Jesus Christ. The first prayer that the person, unsaved person, must pray is this. It says in Romans 10, verse 13, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's a prayer, to call on the Lord, to call on His name. Oh, you who are far from Christ, if you call on His name, if you call on Him who died and rose again, you will be saved. That prayer will be answered. Again, it is a promise. Everyone who sincerely, humbly calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Have you called on Him? Why tarry? Why linger? For if you ask, if you seek, if you knock, oh, you will find. So do not fear, do not tarry. The Lord hears the sinner that calls on Him for grace. Let us pray. Dear Father God, we come to You this morning, and Lord, we do realize our failure with prayer. Lord, none of us prays as we should. None of us seeks You with all our heart. None of us is holy as we should be. None of us has our hearts purified from sin entirely. And so, Lord God, we look to You and we pray, we ask that You'd give us a heart that yearns to pray, that yearns to bring our requests before You, that yearns to fall humbly at the feet of our God, of our Savior, and call upon You who cares for us, our Heavenly Father. And so, Lord, would You give us such a heart this day? Forgive us for Lord, forgive us when we do not pray. And forgive us, Lord, when we pray in ways that do not please You. Help us to pray prayers that honor Your name, that are in accordance with Your will, prayers that are in accord with what You have written for us in Your Scriptures. And so, Lord God, I do look to You this day, praying, Lord, for Your blessing upon us. Oh, Lord, help us to pray. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.